Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the river. Good to see all you guys this morning. Yeah, let's get excited. God is good. God is good. We are going to be continuing in a series that we've been in for quite some time now, and we've been walking through the book of Luke in the Bible, and it's been really great. We've learned quite a few amazing things about Jesus and things that he said, and we want to continue in that today. So I want to go ahead and read a passage of scripture for you guys, and I want you guys to read it with me. It's in Luke 12, verse 35 through 48. All right? All right, here we go. 35. Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Blessed will be those servants that the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will get ready, have them recline at the table, and come and serve them. If he comes in the middle of the night, or even near dawn, and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 41, Lord, Peter asked, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant who the master finds doing his job when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and starts to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the servant's master will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a new place with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. But the one who did not know and did what deserved punishment will receive a light beating. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. All right, let's get into this passage real quick. All right, so I'm going to kick us off with this. If there's one thing that I know about humans and I know about people in general, is that we really wish we can know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, we really do, don't you? Wouldn't you agree? Don't you wish you knew what's going to happen to you in the future? And, you know, a lot of people do a lot of different things. They'll go visit maybe a psychic to try to determine the future. They might go to a self-proclaimed prophet to try to know the future. Might get their palm read or read some tarot cards or something. Some people might even use the magic eight ball. And so I thought, some of y'all, I can't believe you brought that into the holy temple. But I thought it would be kind of interesting if I asked the magic eight ball, magic in strong quotations, a few questions about my personal future. And let's just see what it says, all right? All right, so I'm going to ask it this. After service today, will Chick-fil-A be open on a Sunday so that me and my friends might be able to go and enjoy a spicy number two deluxe with a large fry and a large sweet tea? And it says, without a doubt. Now I know we can't trust this thing, because if Chick-fil-A ever opens on Sunday, you know Jesus is coming back soon. That's a fact. That's a fact. All right, let me ask it another question. Let's see here. All right, will the hair that I've lost over the years on the top of my head return to me sevenfold very soon? Let's take a look at it here. Not looking good. Disrespect. I'm going to put this thing right over here. In fact, get this out of here. The question that I really wanted to ask the Magic 8 Ball about today that was more related to the passage is, when is Jesus coming soon? But the reason I didn't ask the Magic 8 Ball that question is really because I don't want us to hang on to the words of the toy made by Hasbro, made of plastic and blue water, But really, hold on to the words of Jesus in this passage. This passage is interesting because it's talking about the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus. And when I was in Bible college, I took a class called eschatology. Say that five times fast. Eschatology. It's a crazy big word. It's the study of the end times. So we studied things like the second coming of Jesus, right? Which there are signs where there'll be rumors of war and famine and disease and things like that. And you study these different viewpoints on what will happen in the very end. And it was really funny. I love the college that I went to and the professor I had. I spent the whole semester studying all millennialism, pre, post, all this kind of stuff, trying to figure out what I believe is going to happen in the end. And literally in the last 30 minutes of that class, at the very end of the semester, somebody raised their hand and asked our professor, Professor, which one's the right view, or what do you believe? And he turned around and he said, oh, I don't know. And I thought to myself, what did I spend this whole semester doing? But listen, it's not bad to have a view or an idea of what you think might happen, but we don't really know, right, when or what is going to exactly happen in the end times. We have seen a lot of prophets, right, make predictions. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen, but I've seen people who say, Jesus is going to come back this day, this hour, and I can safely stand up here and say they were wrong, right? But a lot of people claim to know or feel like they know when he's coming back. And I want to share this. This is just a little bit of transparency and honesty with me. I used to really feel like that people who would say Jesus is coming back soon, I always thought that was very arrogant. And the reason I thought that was because why would Jesus come? Why would we think that he would come back in our lifetime when if the second coming of Jesus is wrapped in tribulation and hard times, don't you think the people in World War I, Holocaust, World War II, slavery in America, don't you think those people were going, Jesus is coming back soon, right? And I really used to think that it was kind of like, why would we say that? And God really used this passage of scripture to really heal me and help me understand that it's not really arrogance as much as it is hopeful. Being hopeful for his return. Being watchful. So I entitled this message, if you're taking notes, it's really long, Stay Ready So You Ain't Gotta Get Ready. All right, that's the name of the sermon. Stay ready so you ain't gotta get ready. Jesus' words here are less about knowing the time and the date and more about the posture of your heart and life while you wait. Amen? It's less about the time and the date. Of course, would I love to know the time and the date? Yes. Do I wish I could ask the Hasbro toy and it would give me the time and date? Yes, I would love that. But Jesus, you're going to read here, makes some very clear statements about us trying to know the time and the date. But why is the second coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus, important to us? It's for these reasons. One, in the entire Bible, it's mentioned over 1,800 times in the whole Bible that Jesus will be coming back. In the New Testament, it's actually mentioned over 300 times, and Jesus himself talks about his return back to earth. And so, as Christians, it is a pillar of our faith. It is a hope that we hold on to. Why? Because the struggle is real down here. The promise is that Jesus will come back and he will take us out of this place of struggle, pain, fear. And don't you guys want that? I mean, some of you might be like, prove it, that this is a place of struggle. Literally, when you were born, it is a struggle. I watched my wife give birth to two children. It is a struggle, all right? We struggle down here. It is a place where we face pain, we face fear. And I don't know about you, but I long for a day when that goes away. I would love to be with God. I would love to be in a place where my soul is no longer in this place. And trust me, that's my ultimate desire, is to be where Jesus is. That's what I want more than anything. And so what's interesting is Jesus in this passage speaks to the disciples and the crowd that he's speaking to using some parables about the second coming of Jesus. So let's take a look at it in verse 35. It says, "Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. Basically, be ready for when he comes. Be ready. Have the lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. It's saying when Jesus comes back, the master, let your heart and life be ready and worthy to serve and welcome him. Anticipate his return and be ready. Anticipate. You might be thinking, how rude of Jesus to not give us the time or the day, but ask us to be ready. That's not an unfair request. If you go to the DMV and you pull a ticket at the DMV, you're going to be given a number and you have no idea when they're going to call your number. You really don't. But you're going to have that number ready. But if you lose that number or you lose your ticket on the floor somewhere, drop it, and you don't know where it is and they call your number, you're not ready, what are they going to do? They're going to pass right over you, right? It's not an unfair ask of Jesus to say, hey, be ready for when I return. Let your heart be ready for when I return. And so Jesus, it's cool because in this he says, be ready. And then in verse 37, he says this, blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will get ready, have them recline at the table, then come and serve them. Now this was a radical concept when he was speaking to the disciples and the people of that time, right? It was very common back in that day to have servants, and there'd be someone who pays them, their master, to take care of them, and that type of relationship in a household. But he says here, he says, blessed are the servants that are alert when he comes home, because the master's actually going to get ready, the servants are going to recline, and then the master's going to take care of the servants. This is a pretty radical concept, right? And we really see here the type of leadership Jesus is about. He's about servant leadership. Servant leadership. Martin Luther King Jr., a famous pastor, said, everybody can be great, but anybody can serve. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. And the idea there is that Jesus is the master, but if you are ready, then he will come and serve. And I couldn't help but think, is this like him alluding to what he's going to do at the Last Supper? If you remember, Jesus actually washes their feet, gets on the floor and washes his disciples' feet. And so he's there to serve. And then he says, they're going to recline at the table, going to come to serve. If he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 26 and 28 says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he says, if you are ready when he comes, you will be blessed. And right there at the very end, it says, if he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. No matter the time or the season. He said that because if you're a servant and your master comes home from the wedding late in the middle of the night, that's a hard time to be awake and ready, right? And I kind of think about in our life, you know, he's saying no matter the time or the season that you're in. Are you in a difficult season? He's saying it doesn't matter. Be ready. You see what I'm saying? Like, are you ready? And then in verse 39, it says, but know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You also be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you did not expect. Once again, he's coming at an hour you did not expect. And this is interesting because he uses this thief analogy that we've actually heard before. Paul actually spoke about it in 1 Thessalonians. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And I like to think that Jesus said this because he knows you and I very deeply. He says, if you knew when the thief was going to show up, you would have kept him from coming in the house. If we knew the time that Jesus was coming, we probably wouldn't let him come because we would say, we're not ready. Like if we said, hey, Jesus is coming back in August, One of the things you'll probably do, and this is just human, is you'd probably go, all right, sweet, that's cool. I'm going to do me for a little bit. And then around the time that you come back, I'm going to get my life right. It's going to be good, right? And Jesus is like, you don't know the time. You don't know the time. Or, like a thief, if we knew when he was coming, we would say, it doesn't matter. If we said right now, hey, Jesus is coming back in a minute, we'd be like, wait, we're not ready. We're not ready. I'm not ready. My life isn't ready. And Jesus knows us deeply. He knows our heart. He knows that we would try to stop him, right? And so he says, you don't know the time. You're not going to know. And the idea here is that you would be ready and take inventory of your heart, your life, the status of your soul, so that you might be ready when he does come. When he does come. I want to phrase it like this. This is why Jesus is saying you don't know the time, because you don't have the luxury to wait. We don't have the luxury to wait. I feel like a lot of times we think, oh, we got time. I got time, right? I'm good. We got time. And we don't have the luxury to wait. We don't have the luxury to wait to allow Christ to turn our life around. We don't have the luxury to wait to ask those who we've wronged for forgiveness. We don't have the time to wait to share the love of God with our family. We don't have that luxury because we do not know when Jesus will return. He can return at any moment. Will you be ready? Because if you did not know the time, you would keep the thief from entering the home. And then something happens, which, if you guys know me, this is hilarious. Peter speaks up. And if you've followed Peter's story, this joker oftentimes speaks up at the worst times. And this is one of those times, I think. He says this. He says, Lord, Peter asks, are you telling this parable to us, or are you telling it to everybody else? And I kind of think, like, a lot of times we're like that. You know, we'll hear a message and we'll go, is this for me? No, this ain't for me, Jesus. This ain't for me. This is for this other person. My heart's right. I'm good. This is for somebody else. So Peter's like, you talking to us, or are you talking to everybody here? And Jesus actually kind of turns the story kind of towards Peter a little bit in this next passage. In 42, he begins to share this other parable about a manager, all right? A manager who manages the servants. And look at it. It says, who then is the faithful and sensible manager? His master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant who the master finds doing his job when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and starts to beat the male and female servants, eat and drink and get drunk, that servant's master will come on a day he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. He'll cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will and didn't prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. So it's interesting here. He says... Look at this manager who's managing these servants, which, you know, I like to think is probably Peter in this. He's talking to Peter and he's going, look, this is for you too. Peter, I know you're my boy. I know that you're my disciple. But listen, you're a leader and you manage other servants. He even says that helps feed the servants, you know, feed my sheep. So Peter is here, and he's hearing it, and he's going, oh, okay, this is for me too. This is for me too. A lot of us are leaders in here. A lot of you guys lead people. And listen, the judgment for those of us who lead folks is gonna be more severe. In this passage, you see there's an idea of reward and punishment. Reward and punishment. There is a reward to those who lead according to the will of the master. And there's also punishment for the leaders who think they have the luxury of time and mistreat others, and specifically those whom they lead. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. There is reward and punishment. And it's interesting because, I feel it just as much as you do. Like, hey, I want to be ready. But if I'm out here just doing what I do, leading and just doing what I think is right, because I think Jesus won't be coming back soon, and I'm not going to take good care of what's going on in here and in here and live carelessly, He says there will be punishment for that. In 48 it says, but the one who did not know and did what deserved punishment will receive a light beating. From everyone who has been given much will be required. Much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. This reminds me of the great scholar named Uncle Ben from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. When I hear this passage, it actually reminds me of like a lot of conversations I've had with people who go like, okay, what about people on an island that have never heard the gospel, don't know about Jesus? Are they going to die and go to hell? And I don't know, like, I can't speak for those people. I can't speak for God in that. But it does say here in the passage that for those who did not know and did what deserved punishment, interesting, will receive a light beating. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. I can't speak for those people, but I do know that there are levels in which we will be judged based on what we know. And we live in a great time. In fact, biblically, we probably know more about the Bible than most of the people in the early church, because we have this whole document to read that has been compiled throughout history. So we know a lot, and we're going to be held responsible for a lot. I'm just gonna put it just like that. We're going to be held responsible for quite a bit. Some of you are like, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. Don't teach me anymore about the Bible. I don't want to be responsible for what I hear. But it's true. We will be held responsible for what we know, but what we do with that information. So like, for instance, you know, we can't be bearers of the word and not doers of the word. So if he comes and we are ready, we are found right before God, we are rewarded. I mean, it's just the simple fact of this passage in particular. And today, I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute, but today I just want this passage to be a reminder to you, because here's the thing. We don't know when he's coming back. It is a pillar of our faith. It's going to be something that will affect you and I. If he comes back in this lifetime, there are people, a lot of us have hope that it will happen in this lifetime, mainly because you're like, I'm ready to get up out of here. Listen, I grew up in a church where people would get up and wail, and they'd be like, Lord, please come today. And I'm like a teenager going, yo, I'd like to get married. I'd like to do some stuff. Like, I just started down here, you know, as if like everything down here is going to be greater than being with him in his presence. So I get it. I get the fear of like, oh my gosh, you know, what is it going to look like? But just trust me on this one. It's going to be a lot better with him than in this life, than the struggle that you will face in this life. And that's our hope. That's what we want. Do I hope that Jesus will come back in our lifetime? Absolutely. I would love to see that happen. I'm ready for that. I want to be ready. And that's what I want to ask you. Are you ready for that? Is your heart ready for that? And if you're somebody who would say, no, my heart is not ready for that. I don't know if when judgment day comes, if my heart is ready. I don't know if I'm going to go and be with God. Then I want to ask you guys today to really take a close look at your life. And I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus in a way that transforms you. This is the way that we will be with him. This is the way that we will make it into heaven, and we want that. I want that for every single person in here, and that's our prayer. That's our prayer. Because the opposite is not exciting. The opposite is not exciting, where we're not ready, where it is time, and we didn't give our lives to Christ. We didn't consider our actions. We didn't seek God first. So today, that's my request to you. My prayer is that you will give your life to Jesus today, that you won't go looking at these prophets or psychics or palm reading or anything like that to try to determine the day. We don't know the day. We don't know. Could be right now. Could be in the next few minutes. Could be who knows when. Don't go to the magic eight ball. Don't trust that. Trust that he's coming, and stay ready so that you ain't got to get ready. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:22, he uses an Aramaic word It's only used once in the New Testament. And he says, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come get us now. Come get us soon. That's my prayer today. I'm praying, God, come get us. Come take us out of here. Take us away from the struggle. Take us away from the pain. God, we don't want to live in this life without you. God, come and take us from this place. That's my prayer. My prayer today is that you will get ready and be ready. The band's going to come out here and play for a second. And what we're going to do is we'll just have a time of prayer and worship. And our ushers are going to come down. And they're going to bring in some communion. And I want to encourage you, if you want to take communion, do that. And while the band's playing, we're going to have a time of prayer. And if you got to do like real business with God, like maybe you're a person that has been running from God. You look at the world that we live in and you obviously know and you understand that there's a creator. And it's pretty obvious. You see it. And you know that you've been running. You know that there's something not right in here. You know the self-destructive behavior that's been plaguing your life over and over and over again. I just want to say, try Jesus. Maybe you've tried everything else. Try Jesus. Give your life to him today. Pray and cry out to him and say, God, I'm ready to stop running. I'm done with it. God, I need you. I need your help. I need your love.